Welcome to episode 196 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. We're going to talk some shit about a lot of movies today. My name is Wayne.
Shit being the operative word.
That's right. We're counting it down.
My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness so you don't have to. And welcome to the first episode of a new era. It's the first episode technically of 2019 dropping on New Year's Day.
Happy New Year, folks.
Happy New Year to all of you. And may all your 2019s be prosperous and successful and not at all full of the shit like we're about to talk about today.
I wish you lots of money and happiness. Everyone.
Happiness and money?
Yes. Okay, happiness and money.
Yeah, in that order.
All right. Okay, you know what?
And health.
Health, happiness, yes. Then money.
Yeah, there we go.
There.
I'm all satisfied right. with that.
That's all good. Y'all get that this year. I wish that.
And so today is the launching of a new era of the show, as mentioned, where basically no longer are we doing reviews and the countdowns together. We're separating that out. Today is a countdown-only show. We're streamlining the show. Every Tuesday, a countdown of the topic of choice. And then the Saturday that follows it, we'll have our feature review for the week. This week, Aquaman. Our thoughts on Aquaman coming on Saturday. Wayne and I will be breaking that film down for your amusement.
You should have fun with that, people, I think.
We used to do a segment to kick off the show called The Recount. This is the point we'd normally break into that. But we're actually doing away with that. We're just going to do a quick summary of last week's show in terms of the votes for who won what, which we do every week. We have a vote in our Facebook listener community. If you're not a member, head on over to the show notes, click on that button, get on board. It's where all the communication with the fans and listeners takes place. It's a lot of fun. But before we even get to that, we do have one thing to plug.
Oh, right, the Podcast Republic app, if I'm not mistaken.
You are 100% on point, and it is, for your Android devices, a robust and extremely awesome app. And Wayne's laughing because I get crap for calling it robust.
Yeah.
But extremely awesome app.
But it is, in fact, robust.
So it's excellent for all your podcasting enjoyment, not just our show, but any show. Thanks to Nay and the team at Podcast Republic for featuring us, and we are more than happy
Thanks, kids.
To feature them in return. All right, then. So the results from last week's show, episode 195, where Netflix and Swill, Dan and Caleb, joined us from that show to compete the top 10 Netflix original programs, film or TV. And in the end, on our home territory, we took it out comfortably, 30 votes to 15 votes there. Very pleased by that result, which means we remained undefeated for 2018. We had
That's right. I'm still toweling the Caleb asshole off my dick.
Apologies to anyone new to the show at that particular point, if you're still listening after that. However, the written feedback was pretty even. Mike Margosian said, closer than I thought it would be, but had to hand it to the visitors. They did a very good job. If they had Haunting of Hill House and Narcos, their list would have been awesome. Chris Yini said, I would rather watch The Life and Times of Jar Jar Binks than watch another second of Big Mouth. And, which was a choice of yours, Wayne.
Man, a lot of people were not on board with that.
Ooh, you really did risk the biscuit there.
Damn.
And BoJack is life. So that was their number one choice, and lots of people love the shit out of
BoJack.
One
day we'll see BoJack.
I need to check that out. David Powell said, to be fair, I haven't seen several of Caleb and Dan's choices, but without The Haunting of Hill House, I can't vote for them. He was astonished that no one mentioned the OA or Santa Clarita Diet. I think you did have it on your honorable mentions.
Santa Clarita Diet I really liked, but I can see this to be the type of show that Paul dislikes.
I tried it. I watched it with my fiance, and she wasn't down.
We
gave it away.
See, I got a little crush on Oliphant, even though I know he's an
a-hole. I was going to say I had a little crush on Drew Barrymore, but no.
No.
Of course not. It's Wayne.
Oh, I've got a crush on a girl. That's newsworthy. It is absolutely not. Man, slightly more interesting.
And that there, if you are interested, is a soundboard, which will pop up every now and again to mock Wayne in terms of his response. No Voltron or Sabrina from Joey DiCarlo from the So Wizard podcast. Another great friend to the show.
Voltron?
Yeah, he loves the Voltron.
Wait, is there a new Voltron?
Yeah.
I've not heard of this.
It's like 7 seasons of like 20-minute episodes.
Wait, is it like cartoon?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you should check that shit out.
I need to check that shit. Is it the Lions nostalgia? Or is it the goddamn...
Yes, the Lions.
The Lions is the only good one. Okay, the fucking machines, that shit.
Yep. Ranking Stranger Things at number 7 was so low, so a shitty list story, so Countdown wins. I think that was probably what undid the Netflix and Swill, the ranking of Stranger Things down at number 7.
Yeah, because everyone loves that.
Mm-hmm. Except them. But I love it, but just not as much as others. So thanks to the boys for coming on. Yay us for holding firm in 2018. Will we continue the streak in 2019? We'll find out in a few weeks' time with our next guest on the show.
Boom.
All right. That's all the preamble. Let's get straight into it then.
I should mention.
Ooh.
We do the pop 10 at the end of the show. So if you've written in, you still get some stuff read out towards that bit. You just don't do the whole...
Yes, the bit at the start. That's right. So again, streamline the show a little bit. And yes,
sorry.
We think it'll make it a better show.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so that's that. Look forward to at the end. But today, we're all about what's crap on the other side of this music cue. The worst 10 films of 2018. But then there was you. Pull me out of the crowd. You were telling the truth. Yeah. I got something to say now. Cause you told me that there's no way I couldn't go. The worst 10 films of 2018 is the topic of conversation for today's podcast. And look, this is a fun one. Every year,
oh, yeah,
we pull to pieces the worst 10 pieces of cinematic excrement,
oh, shit,
that have been foisted upon us. And it's a nice chance to warn you off or for you to commiserate with us having shared the pain of having watched these films.
Everyone, it is an odd little exercise when you... There's certainly movies that you hate during the year and you're, oh, that's on the list, that's on the list, that's on the list. But then when you approach coming up to record a list like this, you start watching movies that you expect to be shit.
Which, okay? I did. You did this as well?
Oh my God, did I ever? Yeah. And it's a pretty fucking dismal week because what happens is you go, this movie might be shit, but it might not be shit enough to be on a list. So you look for the most shit-looking ones you can think of.
Yeah.
And then if you spend 2 hours watching it and it's not quite shit enough to go on a list, you will never get those 2 hours back.
Yeah, that's true. That said, I was successful 3 times in the last fortnight. I watched 3 films in the last fortnight. I missed at the cinemas. Thank God.
Oh, mate. Oh, wait,
that still made my
list. I got about 4 from last couple of weeks.
There you go. All right. Well, look, it's pretty simple. It had to be released cinematically. That's my only criteria. I'm not counting the bargain basement direct-to-video on-demand releases that they're too easy to pick on. I wanted the films that got a cinematic release or a release around the world that certainly were released here in Australia. And I went by January 1st to December. Well, we're almost December 31st as we record today, this year's release date. So it might have been released in America last year, but if it was out here this year, it counts.
Yeah, geographically, you know, it should be relevant. Absolutely. Yes, yeah.
It is for us. So if I end up including a film which released in America in November last year, just check it out before you at us to tell us how we got it wrong.
Okay. But now my question is Netflix releases included?
No.
Really?
No, of course not. That didn't go, unless I went to the cinema.
Just looking through my list, though.
Uh-oh.
No, I think I'm good. I'm good.
Good. So this is not...
This is the dumbest shit anyone ever said in the history of, and I don't think I'm accelerating here.
Oh, my God.
Here.
This is such a long fucking shitty thing. All right. yes, no, in
which
fact,
reminds me, can I totally forgot the top of the show.
What?
Can I interrupt to say, of course, if you are a member of our listener community on Facebook or you follow our Facebook page, you'll have seen this week, Billy from We Watch the Thing upgraded... the Wayne song, which is an amalgamation of the best of Wayne's clips on the soundboard from the song he made into a clip. So basically, he's put Wayne's face on the dude from Gangnam Style.
Sigh.
And it's that clip with Terrence and Philip mouth movements.
Yes, with me and Paul. Paul on there too.
I pop up at the end. Which, but it's all about Wayne, let's be honest.
Oh, God.
Jeez, it's funny. Billy, once again, my hat is off.
I lost it, man. I got
it
issues.
It is so funny.
And now my family has seen it.
Just in time for Christmas. That's
brilliant. My sister's like, what the fuck is this? And I'm like, okay, well, you know I do a show. And she's like, what the fuck? So, yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for that, Billy. If you haven't, do check out our Facebook pages because you must see that video.
Yeah, check it out.
Okay. Then, Wayne, why don't you lead us away then, having to make an adjustment? What is your 10th worst film that you suffered through in 2018?
I can't wait to drop this one. My number 10 worst film of the year is The Predator.
Oh.
That's right, bitches. Okay, so here's, I don't know if you guys heard our episode earlier in the year. Paul thinks that he doesn't mind this movie. He actually hates it, but he can't admit it to himself, and he can't admit it to the world. Okay, he will go,
I stand resolute, motherfucker.
He will give it like, oh, I didn't think it was too bad, but then talk for 2 hours about all the shit things about it. That's what happened. Go back and listen to that episode. I don't know what it is, but it's fucking ridiculous, okay? Now, remember, The Predator. This is the Shane Black film that had to be nothing short of mind-blowing, man, all right? Because he was in the original movie, and the franchise had gone sort of left and right, and this was going to be the thing that made it all okay. But it did not do that. And I adore Shane Black, so this is not easy for me, okay? Just this film has none of the Predator trademark charm. It's one forced, painful scene after another. It's just dudes being unfunny and really, really poorly executed comic stuff, which is weird because Shane Black is funny. Shane Black knows how to shoot comedy, but he fucked up here, and I don't know what happened. And the cast wasn't good. Everyone somehow turns out to be a goddamn superhero, including the scientist woman who can bust a cap. Like, she all of a sudden can just... She's like Xena, right? And then it's just difficult to get invested in anyone when you can kind of tell who's going to live and die just from the beginning. It's like, come on, look at this shit. That was a big disappointment. That's what it was. It was shit for me because it was such a disappointment.
Well, okay. I can understand the disappointment. However, as a response to everything you've just said.
I fart in your general direction.
Did you put an effect on that, you asshole? Yeah. What the fuck?
Look, you're not wrong. The film is not great, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I
had a lot of fun. You fucking didn't. You just think you did. You want to enjoy
it. You'll hear in the end of the episode the listener feedback that quite a few people do agree with you. Because it was a disappointment factor. It should have been better than it was, I will acknowledge. But I had enough fun and I had enough callbacks and enough violence, gratuitous that it was, that it saw me over
Look
the line.
Look at this guy protecting his fucking childhood and
shit. I'm also quite impressed it's not higher. I thought this was going to be way, way higher on your list. So I can sort of live with it being at your number 10.
Okay. I thought you'd just get pissed off. All right, cool.
No, I get where you're coming from. I think you'll get where I'm coming from for my number 10.
Number 10.
Yeah, it is a sequel to a big film from a couple of years back. It stars everybody's favorite dude, Chris Pratt, and Bryce Dallas Howard. It is Jurassic Park, Fallen Rectum.
That's my fucking number 9.
There you go.
Fallen Rectum. All right.
Directed by J.A. Bayona, who is a talented filmmaker, and it's tragic that his talents are wasted here.
So it's funny how these people are taking a skip now.
This film is so bad. From the first half an hour is okay.
No, it actually doesn't open that badly.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting. It looks cool.
Yeah, look, the premise enough is, okay, we got to go back to rescue them because they're going to be killed. It's not their fault that they were created. We owe it to them to try and rescue these animals. I'm like, okay, I'm on board with this. That's all fine.
Yeah.
And then the whole island sequence ends by 45 minutes in.
It's bullshit.
And suddenly we're thrust into this James Bond villain-esque wannabe world.
Yes.
Where Timothy Spall is god-awful,
yep,
making god-awful decisions. And we've shoehorned in some back character we never knew existed and some genetic fucking cloning of people. And the whole thing is just daft.
Well, let's not forget the fucking manipulative bullshit filmmaking where, like, they're leaving the island and there's one massive brontosaurus and he's dying among the flames and everyone's like, oh, and I'm like, shut the fuck up. This is so affected. Like,
even the fact that they snuck onto the bad guy's boat and no one on the boat noticed them, I was like, what is...
Oh, yeah. And they drove onto the fucking boat
and no one noticed.
Amazing. And also, let's not... This is the worst thing about the whole movie, okay? At one point in the movie, Bryce Dallas Howard is strongly considering and in fact about to unleash dinosaurs to kill...
However many humans.
In a fucking suburban area, okay? And Chris Pratt, I told you about this before, all right?
Don't say it.
No, like a bitch. She's like, I'm going to let them all go. Now, this is families, children, babies, possibly thousands of deaths, okay?
Yeah, potentially.
Because she's letting like 200 dinosaurs go, right? Chris Pratt is like this. You sure you want to do that, honey? Like, what the fuck? Your girlfriend is about to commit mass murder. At least put some bass in your voice. All right? And also, if your girlfriend kills thousands of people, that's going to look badly on you. Yeah. All right? So I think there should be a rule here. No one should ever lay a hand on a woman for basically any reason. But one exception other than she's about to kill you and you need to defend yourself about to commit mass murder and she won't listen to a word you say, you are allowed one muff punch. just get her away from the controls. Okay? Just one. One, man. A light one. A tap.
How about you just grab her arm and pull her away?
It might not work out. Like, okay, whatever it is. But if it has to get up to muff punch, then you can. But only one, and only if she's about to murder people. Because can you imagine that shit? Someone comes to you and says, listen, I understand your girlfriend is responsible.
Wayne, stop. Stop.
She's responsible for killing my whole family. And you did nothing about it. Come on, you got to. Yeah, all right, word. Yeah,
yeah. I know where you're coming from. I'm not sure I agree with anything or how you said it. And apologies to anyone new to the show, if you're still listening. That is, sadly, representative of Wayne.
No other muff punches allowed, okay? Just don't do it ever, at all.
Except oh, shit. All right, so that's my 10. You're 9. It's a god-awful film. And
shit.
It's only slightly better than my number 9, which is also a god-awful film. Big surprise. It's Stephen S. DeKnight's Pacific Rim Upchucking.
Oh, really? You didn't like that?
Fuck, I hate
this movie. Let me see. Was it better or worse than the first one?
Oh, way worse.
Was it?
And the first film was not good.
No, the first one was not good.
Yeah. Lots of people have this weird affection for it, I should say. But this film just takes that legacy, whatever small amount, because you and I just thought it was okay. I didn't think it was terrible.
But like we expected
Guillermo del Toro's initial film. It just shits all over it with this bunch of shit-ass characters, including John Boyega, who you don't give any shits about, makes the fate of the world rest upon this group of, what are they, 19, 20-year-olds? Some of them are like 16-year-olds. Yep, that's good planning. Good forward planning. Well done, everyone.
It's more... Yeah, it was just a piece of like...
shot like a Transformers movie. It's like Michael Bay spiritually got behind the camera and made everything confusing and big just for the hell of it and
that
lots
was
of
a
moving
bad
parts.
Part. I think the only thing, if anything, that saved it for me was John Boyega's performance. I actually liked him.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I liked him, so I liked the movie a bit better than having to put it on the list. But
and the climax on Mount Fuji and fuck me.
You know what? I'm actually having trouble remembering how it went.
Well, you've done well. You've blocked it out because that's exactly how this film needs to be treated. And it stuck back on my list late and displaced a couple of films I watched late in the piece, primarily because this was such a big film back in like March or April, I think it was. And it had a lot of marketing behind it, and it's just, it hopefully will destroy the Pacific Rim world forever because no one needs to see another one of these piece of shit films.
Yeah, it's just this kaiju people that like all that stuff. I don't know. Who knows?
Nothing wrong with, although there's been fucking hard to come by, good big things destroying things.
Because it's fucking shit.
Rampage is also dog shit, but
man,
not on my list.
I wanted to, I wanted to watch that just because I thought it might be on the list, didn't get to it in time. Would have made the list possibly, though.
Potentially. It's certainly in the bottom 20. Let's put it that way.
Cool. All right. Well, you know what? I just messed up. My number 8 was actually a Netflix release.
Oh.
But it was a very popular one.
Well, you messed up, but go on, mention it.
It's The Cloverfield Paradox.
Yeah, that was shit.
My God. This is a horror flick, yes?
Yeah, it's sci-fi.
Sci-fi horror flick.
Yeah.
I remember just thinking to myself, what happened here? All right? Like, when a ship eats a man, Roy, from the IT crowd's arm, right? And then that arm comes back to life and then wrote down a message and does all this other weird shit. Head explodes because it's full of worms. I remember just thinking to myself, this is like all these ideas that they had tried to stick together in one thing.
It's literally what they threw at the wall and the arm stuck.
Literally, it looked like that. And also, like, I think we all had a problem with the lead character going, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to a different dimension.
Steal those kids.
Yeah, steal those kids from my other person self who would be just as upset as I am now. And then I'm also going to leave my current husband. He can go fuck himself.
Yep.
This is the premise of the whole movie. Something fucked up.
This
here.
Film was so bad that they abandoned plans to link Overlord in with the Cloverfield universe.
Really?
Pretty sure.
Yeah,
initially
good,
it was attached.
Yeah, because Overlord
was good.
Good, man.
So no one near this list, that is for sure.
That's for sure.
All right, well, you missed the brief once again. Well done.
I don't think we
Nevertheless,
did.
It's a pretty poor film. And yeah, it was an event film in the sense of Super Bowl.
Yes.
Super Bowl, whatever it is, Sunday, that just went straight tonight. As soon as Super Bowl's over, you can watch this film, which was clever marketing in the end.
Was it though? Because it was risky as fuck.
Well, it was clever because no one would have watched this thing had it come out of the cinemas, or they would have gone and watched it, and the word of mouth would have been so bad it would have sunk without a trace. So Netflix paid whatever they paid for it, which apparently they got their money back and slightly more. And by dropping it on a bombshell like this on the biggest audience day in on the American calendar, lots of people would have hung around and just switched over to watch Netflix.
So they got the numbers they wanted? We don't know because they never tell
Netflix
anyone.
Never tell anyone.
Yeah,
numbers, so it's hard to tell. But
so we don't know. But
it was an interesting.
If you pitch that to
marketing,
listen, let's go Gorilla. Let's go, element of surprise.
I imagine they bought it / saw it and went, the only way this works is if we.
Yeah, we spend fuck all on it.
Yeah, do the carpet bombing approach to it. Just walk away.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good point.
All right. My number 8 is also an early in the year film. It's one that I know my boy Wes from the Via VHS podcast hates as well. It's Winchester.
Ah, the Helen Mirren horror film.
Helen Mirren horror film directed by two Australian German brothers, Michael and Peter Spearing.
Okay.
And it is a period horror film set around supposedly the Winchester, the guys who created, the man who created the Winchester repeating rifle.
Okay, that's a little bit interesting.
It's his legacy, so to speak. I think Helen Mirren's his daughter. It's set in a period piece. I can't remember exactly when, very early 1900 something.
Shit.
And she is combating, seemingly in her head, she's combating the ghosts of the people being murdered with Winchester rifles.
Oh my God, really?
By building this weird labyrinth of a house which somehow keeps the ghosts within. Look,
I can buy it if I needed to so far.
It's as dumb as it sounds, but the cardinal sin in a horror film is not being scary.
Yeah.
And Winchester is so not scary. It's
Is it because conceptually it is not menacing, or is that not handled? Is it
not shot well?
Scary? Oh, okay.
It's not set up well. The way that the ghosts are presented. There's one or two slightly memorable which elevates it to number 8 on this list, and keeps it at number 8, not higher on the list. But
there's some good ghosts in it, you say.
A couple of moments which were creepy. P-ish, but okay. Nothing scary. The way it's all resolved, Jason Clarke is the main character in this film. He's a doctor who's having to come and assess Mrs. Winchester for whether she's mentally competent. And there is one little plot development / twist, which I didn't see coming. So that's why it's here and not worse. But it's not
still
a good
on the
film.
List.
Not
yeah.
a good film. And you just kind of look down the ratings and it's just universally panned, this movie.
You know what? No matter how big and how famous and how well-respected an actress you are, or actor, You're going to make a couple turkeys, man.
Yeah, I think if you have a good enough filmography like Helen Mirren does, yeah. And she's probably the best thing about it. She still brings that gravitas that you would expect from
it would not even go on my radar if I didn't know she was in it. Yeah. I wouldn't even heard of it.
And I would never subject you to that. You know, I try and put you through the good horrors I think will be good horrors.
Yeah. I remember you did say, maybe we'll see Winchester. That might be a big thing. And then we both saw the trailer and you went, I don't think so. This is not worth bringing him in on this one.
Definitely not. All right, that's my eight. So,
okay, my number 7 is The Equalizer 2.
Yeah, it did make my list, surprisingly enough.
Really?
But it's dog shit.
It is complete dog shit because, okay, you know I hate the first one.
Whereas I don't hate the first one, I just think it's monumentally average.
Yeah, I hated it. But also I hate this director. So, you know, we talked about it in a couple episodes. But one thing I wanted to put in is that it's just a little bit stupid. Like, it's stupid. For example, Denzel is in a cab because he's a cab driver or a Lyft driver. And there's a hitman comes into the back. And he's got a gun, and his mark is Denzel, so all you have to do is shoot through the seat and kill him, right?
Yep.
Denzel figures it out and goes, you know what I'm going to do here? Instead of bailing out of the car or stop, whatever, he just drives erratically and starts like throwing the guy.
I'm not sure you could stop the car. You get a bullet in the back of the head.
I think he saw the guy get it out. I don't know what it was. But the point is, like, he was just trying to throw the guy around in the back seat. Now, the guy was rolling around in the back seat, but it does not take much for you to fire a few rounds. Just empty your clip into the front of the car.
Yeah.
As you're rolling around, he's done.
You make that sound like that's the worst thing about the most egregious error that film makes.
I think it was the moment where I went, oh, fuck off, like this.
Because it spends 45 minutes or so showing him with these ridiculous B and C plots.
Yeah, where he's
with,
like,
these other passengers.
The street kids.
The street kid and the old man who has lost his sister or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, no one cares.
Exactly.
You're trying to establish him as a good guy. We got that from the first film. Who is responsible for this script? It's fucking script writing 101. You give us a 5-minute, which they do. They give you a 5-minute little anecdote at the start of the movie, which does nothing other than reestablish his character. And then you don't need all the other bits. Get rid of them all and just have him in the main plot line.
Exactly. All they needed, the only motivation he needed was the death of the girl.
Yep. So his friend gets murdered.
Yep. And that's all you need. We do not need to see him being friendly with kids.
And it was exceedingly obvious to all concerned who the villain was, who the traitor was in this film.
Yeah.
And then it ends with one of the most ridiculous action 20 minutes where they're in this hurricane hit town.
Oh my God, I forgot about the hurricane.
And people are making decisions that you and I as non-special trained people would never make.
It was so shit. And the fucking doing the high winds fucking sniping.
Yep.
Like, dude, you're hitting shit now.
Terrible film. Yeah, it's a good choice. Well done, sir.
Piece of crap.
All right, my number 7 is a film which I did watch in the very recent times. Would never have seen it except for it popped up in many of the critics' worst of the year lists. It is, have you ever watched the TV show This Is Us?
You know, I've only heard about it.
Okay, I've seen 2 or 3 episodes and decided it wasn't really for me, though the fans of
the
show love it. It's
very
kind of,
emotionally charged.
Interconnectedness over the generations, family, which is funnily enough where this fucking film sort of comes from. So it might work in a TV form, but Life Itself, directed and written by Dan Fogelman, is so awful.
I think I've heard of this movie.
So awful. It makes you want to bash your head against the TV screen to stop the pain, both of the characters and yourself.
What it's about.
So it starts with, I'm going to spoil a little bit here.
Fuck it, no one's going to watch this now.
Don't normally spoil too much in this film, but if you really want to know why it's called Life Itself, just fast forward 90 seconds of rant.
I'm fine with it. Go right ahead.
Life Itself, the film, implies that life itself is the unreliable narrator.
Okay.
Isn't that smart?
Paul is rocking his arms back and forth.
Like, ha-ha, jaunty. Oh,
yes, he's jaunting around.
And I can just imagine Dan Fogelman sitting in front of his mirror, masturbating.
Who is Dan Fogelman?
The guy created This Is Us. And just going, I'm so fucking tired. And there's, like, even a character in the movie that's their master's thesis project, which is Life Itself is the unreliable narrator in all books and whatever else in her literary thesis.
How is Life Itself an un... How is, how, that's
watch
very
the movie to find
concept.
Out. But it starts with basically Oscar Isaac,
okay.
Who is walking along, he comes out of his therapy, he's walking along, sees this woman, Annette Bening, who's going across the road, grabs her arm and yanks her back out of traffic before a bus hits her. And she's like, oh, thank you so much.
Nice.
And then Samuel Jackson's telling the story, like, here's our hero.
Oh, God, Sam Jackson's
Sam Jackson's voice, here's our hero, da, 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 da. Or he tries to yank it back anyway, because then that didn't actually happen. Here's what happened. She walks across the road, hits hit by the bus.
Oh.
And Samuel Jackson's like, it's okay because she's our heroine. She'll be all right. And he appears in the scene now. He's not just talking. And he walks up and goes, oh, man, no, that's a lot of red coming out of her head.
Oh, shit. Really?
And she dies. And then it's all revealed to be, you know, fucking 6-7 minutes of crap because it's all an Oscar Isaac script that he's writing.
Oh, God.
Having his wife having left him and he's going to therapy with Annette Bening.
All right. And so it's there, pulling back and back and back.
And from there, we get this intergenerational weaving of two family storylines and how tragedy and coincidence brings us all together. That's what this movie should have been called. Coincidence the Movie. It is one big bag of shit.
See, you've said that, and I gotta say, just maybe because you're a good storyteller, it's piqued my interest. But if it's shit, because I actually saw this on a few people's list, I never saw it myself, but
garbage.
It's shit, is it? It's really is it boring terrible. As well or something? Or
it's 2 hours long.
Ew.
2 hours long, and I could not be happier to have fast-forwarded five and ten-minute sequences.
Yeah, there are high-concept movies like this that work, like the Will Ferrell one with Emma Thompson, where he's a writer, or he's a character in someone's book.
6 Degrees of Separation.
I can't remember what he's called. Anyway, that one, yeah.
This one doesn't work. It's got a big cast: Oscar Isaac, Annette Bening, Olivia Wilde, Antonio Banderas,
Tebow.
Yeah, Samuel Jackson. People pop up in it, but I have to say, it is.
Lots of stars.
At the end of the film, because then another unreliable narrator comes on and is telling the story. It turns out who she is the story at the very end of the film. And then you're just like, I cannot believe I sat through this shit.
Oh, God.
It is so awful.
That's horrible. There you are. Oscar Isaac usually comes through with the goods, but there you are.
Well, like you said, everyone picks gets a turkey shit every ass turkeys. Yep.
Okay, my number six is the movie Death Wish.
Yeah, okay.
Whoa.
I did get it released in Australia because it's one of the very few R-rated we get here.
That's right. And like, if you want to watch a couple hours of Bruce Willis just giving zero fucks, right? It just fails to carry any weight. It's a sadistic revenge fantasy, but it plays out like that.
Which is a remake of the Charles Bronson film.
It is, but it lacks the self-consciousness you might require to do this. For example, Bruce Willis is a kindly but unconvincing surgeon in Chicago. And, you know, the crime level's really big and all this sort of shit's happening. And then he has this great life with his family until a home invasion goes wrong and his wife is capped, right? And his daughter is, like, hurt. And then he just goes on to become a badass like the other one, except in the original movie, he was an architect, I believe, Charles Bronson.
Paul Kersey, rings a bell.
I think so. And he just turned into a badass. Having Bruce Willis be the normal guy who turns into a badass defeats the purpose of the whole movie. Bruce Willis is already John McClane. We know he's going to shoot people in the end, and we're not like, it's not amazing when we see it. So it's just crap. It is really, really horribly shit.
I agree. And probably the only reason it never really came close to my list, I think I liked it more than what you're describing, is that the father-daughter stuff is enough for me to kind of go, yep.
It made you throw in?
Yeah, a little bit.
No, I'm fine with that because it definitely meant more to you than me. Yeah.
But I have no problem with being on your list or indeed anyone's list. It's a poor film.
It is.
And it's a needless remake from Eli Roth when it's arguable whether he has talents, but the guy who's created some very memorable horror in the last couple of decades, stop wasting your time on shit like this and the house with clock in its walls. It's ridiculous.
Did you see that?
No.
Okay.
It's too old for my daughter and way too young for me, so there's no reason to see it.
That's the point about this movie, because it's that horror director. There's some like outlandish gore in this movie that's just completely out of place.
Probably saved it for me.
Yeah, you probably would have liked it more than me. But piece of shit, avoid like the plague.
All right, my number six is another one you won't have seen, Wayne, so you can just, I'll be brief with it.
Go on.
It is the highest ranked horror film on my list. Doesn't get any worse than this, thank God. It's from director Jeff Wadlow and Blumhouse Productions. Of fucking course it is. Truth or Dare.
Okay, I saw this on a couple of people's lists. What's it about again?
Truth or Dare is basically, you know, a game of Truth or Dare turns into a deadly game against some supernatural force when some dude takes them to this place. And it's so bad, this film, it's hard for me to get my head around.
Really?
My written review went like this, and it's probably the best synopsis of the film I can give.
All right, let's hear it.
Blumhouse checklist. 1, slightly higher than low budget. Check. Idiotic premise. Check.
Okay.
Late teens as the main characters. Check. Overly simplistic characters defined by one trait. Check. Stupid decision making on behalf of said characters. Check.
Oh, that's going to kill
completely it. And utterly lacking in scares. Again, the worst crime a horror film can make.
Yeah.
Check. Laughably bad resolution.
What?
Check.
Resolution?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean to the movie?
The end of the film,
as opposed to the quality.
Piss poor acting, directing, and editing. Check. People still paying to see this shit at the theatres. So, this $10 or $8 million film or so ends up making way more money than it cost, and therefore we'll see another one in the next 6 to 12 months. Check.
Why does this happen? So, you hate Blumhouse?
Okay, someone called me out on the group for this. They've made some... Blumhouse, he has, and his production company have been responsible for some good films.
Name a few.
Off the top of my head, obviously Paranormal Activity, the film which made guys. Them.
Right, right.
But then they're sort of expanding out. So I've seen a couple of quite reasonable ones, which absolutely escaped me right at this moment in time.
Cool.
But every year they release one to two of these exact checklists I just described, where they are made on the cheap as quickly as possible and for just purposefully to make one good moment in a marketing campaign that draws people in. The Gallows was another example on my worst 10 of the year a couple of years ago list.
Okay.
It sucks all the life out of horror. We horror fans get really up in arms about it, yet people still go and see them. I certainly did not see this at the theater, just to be clear. So it's just steer right away. It is so bad.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And so again, one you'll save from ever having to see.
Done. Oh, my good. My number five, I'm actually really happy to talk about because we, Paul and I saw this trailer for this movie, which is called Hunter Killer.
Oh, yeah. I fucking told you not to watch this movie.
Oh, dude. Right? It's, and I went, oh, that looks all right. And Paul goes, what the fuck is wrong with you? Paul was quite correct. This is a movie about, it's called, okay, Hunter Killer. Gerard Butler.
You are a sad, yeah, strange little man. And you have my pity.
Gerard Butler plays this blowhard, highly experienced U-boat captain. Like, his name's Joe Glass. Who's sent to search for
you. Is it really?
Yeah. He's sent to search for...
I should have called him Joe Balls of Steel.
I know, Joel, check out these nuts. So he's sent to search this this U.S. submarine that was mysteriously attacked in the Arctic Ocean, and he soon learns that a secret Russian coup is in the offing, and like a fucking conspiracy that threatens to dismantle the whole world order, of course. Okay? And so with his crew and the country on the line, he has to help this elite group of Navy SEALs sneak through enemy waters and then rescue the kidnapped Russian president, prevent World War II. That kind of lark. Okay, so I thought to myself, because that's what I thought in the trailer, hey, U-boat movie, I don't necessarily rate Gerard Butler, but if it's got Gary Oldman in it, it's got Gary Oldman in it.
So right? Is that what sold you?
Yeah, shouldn't be all bad.
The Oldman-esque.
Yes, the Oldmanism.
The Academy Award winning Gary Oldman.
Exactly.
In 2018, February, in October 2018, releases this.
Oh, dude, and don't even, you know what? First of all, Gary Oldman gets about 10 lines on the whole thing, about half a monologue.
Is that right?
Yeah, and he seems to be hamming it up a bit. He's actually... He's
sure,
like,
he realizes what he's in.
Well, he's... You know that... Have you seen the episode of Friends that he was on where he's playing this actor who enunciates much too much? Like, he's like, I saw some potatoes and some dried pasta. Pow, pow. Like, he's doing that shit. And he's kind of doing that here, man. So how this film got a theatrical release is astounding. I think it's the Gary Oldmanism that got it there. All right? But it's just... The CG in the film looks like Amiga 500 graphics. And I'm not kidding.
Wow.
It's like, go check that shit out. Some of these hero shots of Gerard Butler standing on a bridge... I just laughably cliched. It's actually worth watching for that because you're all like that. You'll do that. All right. And it's just weirdly, the movie splits the difference between these Navy SEALs that you don't really know, right? And you have, and they're not the star of the show. And then Gerard Butler's time
enough,
on the screen.
There's not enough narrative thrust for one of those stories.
There probably is because they can't make it as good as like that Denzel and fucking Gene Hackman one. Fucking
Crimson Tide.
Crimson Tide. Like, there's nothing like that, but it's trying hard, right? So it is just this feeble, shitty, subpar show. But
would it make your top 10 submarine films list?
Because there are three good submarines, it might.
There's more than three.
No, there's fucking Crimson Tide. There's that Matthew McConaughey one.
U-571.
That's fucking it.
The Hunt for Red October.
Hunt for Red October.
What about Dust Boot?
I never saw that.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, arguably a submarine movie.
Ooh, I'd probably go with fucking Life Aquatic.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. That's off the top of my head. That's off the top of my head, more than 10. Too.
That's not 10. That's fucking, that's like 6.
There's a ghost. There's a haunted ship one as well.
That's not going to go on my fucking list. There's still 6.
Anyway,
sorry. Sidestep. Yes. Don't see Hunter Killer unless you have you just don't give a shit about life. Like, just, I mean, it's actually not going to be horrible. Like, you're not going to hate it because it's like,
you'll never get that time back.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. My number five, the worst five, top five worst films of the year now, if that makes any sense. The worst, the most egregious examples thereof.
Yeah, this is the fucking, this is, yeah.
It's going to be on your list because you're the person that put me onto this film.
Oh.
And I've never seen the first two, and I never, ever will. It's 50 Shades Freed.
Oh, Jesus! That's on my list too! Way higher! Now look, I understand, like, your apprehension here. Because it's almost borderline cliche to have this movie on your worst of list, but it's a piece of shit, so it's got
to
be here.
Yeah, again, obviously didn't see it at the theaters, so I had to be very, where do I put this? But it was so, like, I watched this aghast. Some films you kind of like, you gradually come to the realization that they're really poor.
Oh, yes.
Other films you know before the end of the credits. So by the way it's shot, by the handling, whatever the material is during that time, to say nothing of the font they use on the credits. This film, by the end of the course, I was like, this is going to be one of the biggest pieces of shit ever made. And gosh darn it, if I wasn't right.
No, it actually perfectly, actually, it's amazing how shit it really is. And it's obviously like, The problem is, and maybe this is the whole franchise, right? Now, you know it's Twilight fanfiction. The problem is it feels like Twilight fanfiction. No one
based
is,
off of, yeah, from
no
E.L.
James, buying,
yep.
No one's buying that couple. No, you're not supporting them. You're not on board with them. It's the most uninteresting, unbelievable, unhealthy, uninteresting relationship ever.
No chemistry. One believable interaction between the two of them.
The whole thing. And I actually actively find that girl
Dakota
unattractive.
Johnson, who did you know is Don Johnson and Melanie Griffith's daughter?
Really?
I didn't know that.
Oh my God.
I think I got that right. I hope I got that right. Anyway.
That's kind of...
Because
okay,
I don't embarrass myself very often on the show.
That's a little better, but I honestly found her sexless in a sexy movie.
Yeah, I found them sexless.
Them, because he's a dickhead. First of all, he's a fucking cunt.
Oh, he's the world. He is abusive, and I think the film makes no bars in the earlier films, from what I hear, and the books make no bars in acknowledging that's what he is. But for whatever reason, which I don't understand because I haven't seen the first two films, she gets into it.
Yeah, no, that's it. Is that what this story is about? You've got an abusive relationship, but she digs it. And that makes it okay? Is
yeah,
that it?
Yeah, although purportedly he's better in this film. Like he's reined himself in. Like he allows her to stay by herself and goes overseas and does business and shit. Like that's implying like it's growth. He's a good man now.
Oh my God, that so doesn't come through. And also in the wedding that they have at the beginning.
That's what I'm
like
saying.
That,
by the end, I was like, oh.
No, and he's like, I want to get you away from these riffraff. I'm
yes.
like, God, you're a prick.
You're a dickhead.
These people who came to our wedding, they're riffraff.
And I, you know, made a play on the word unconvincing before, but the definition of unconvincing would have to be the car chase in this movie.
Oh, that was shit.
It was so badly shot. There's even a moment which jarringly jumps from coming into the city to in the city. Not in a, oh, this is a deliberate kind of fade yeah. into, but in a cut like, oh, we just took that same corner.
Exactly.
No, you didn't. Stop making such shit films.
Yes. That I don't even know.
Who made that decision in the fucking editing room? And that's a really little thing in a film, which is there's not one redeemable feature about it.
No, there isn't. And actually, you know what the one redeemable feature about this movie is? It's the end of them. You'll never have to watch another one of these.
Even the fucking soundtrack.
Oh, that was...
Hayley Steinfeld.
Yeah.
Not just her song, but any song is like this light poppy cover of some better song before. Like,
of course it is, dude.
So here she is. She's getting dressed up in a corset and whatever else, and he's cranking out his jeans. What the fuck? He wears his jeans?
Oh, this is
thing?
The Bachelor in Paradise shit. What he's doing is I'm cool and casual.
But they're his jeans. They're like the jeans he has to wear to get it on.
Oh.
Which I read about.
Really?
I didn't get it from the movie.
Is there a he has fucking jeans?
He's fucking jeans, yep.
Does anyone out there have fucking jeans? Like he's like, well, I'm going to go out tonight. Please. I might make me some ass.
I'm going to get these fucking jeans on.
I'm
sure everyone has their preferred...
Armani, yes.
No. Their preferred clothing if they're looking to impress. But no, these are his jeans he needs to dominate in.
Oh, and he uses jeans?
Yeah.
Maybe he's used to all the suits because he's a billionaire.
Yeah, maybe arseless chaps got worn out.
Arseless chaps.
Yeah.
I used to have fucking underwear.
There you go. See?
When I was like,
why not surprised?
No, when I was 19 or 20.
When I was about 19 hours ago.
19
yes.
Fuck off. No, because like, if one pair you get lucky and you're like, okay, word, that shit obviously got the fucking touch, right?
You got the touch. Yeah.
Pro tip: they were not lucky. I just got lucky that one time.
They were lucky for everyone else you met.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone else is happy about it. There were glowing green Superman ones. I'm not kidding. All right.
Yes. Look, if we haven't made it apparent enough, our absolute dismissal of this film, let it now be known. There is nothing about this film I can honestly say succeeded. Right the way down to whatever meaningless little plot they threw in there to justify them lurching between consensual to semi-consensual sex scenes.
I think spare a thought for the actor and actresses.
We're both awful, as you said.
They're awful, but it's an awful script and it's an awful movie.
Yes.
So it's just not going to go
But they
way.
Got paid an awful amount. So, I mean, an awful lot.
Yeah, but then... but you got to live that life afterwards, man.
Are you trying to tell me right now, if someone came to your door and said, we like the cut of your jib, Wayne, on the countdown, and they dumped, I don't know, let's just conservatively say $3 million on your doorstep, you wouldn't do it?
So, the job that they're asking me yep. is like, all right, listen, see this girl here?
Yes.
Who you would fuck Paul before you fuck her? All right? You need to hit that shit on screen.
With apologies to Miss Johnson.
Just because of her character, people. Also, not really. But the and I would honestly think about it, man. Because you know what?
$3 million. They made more than this for the third film.
Yeah,
of the
but
series.
I'm no one. So.
Yeah, but I'm
saying,
a great
price
that's what
for
I'm
me.
Saying. Like,
are you getting me at a?
Arguably, you're more likely to say yes then because they've always got other roles that could potentially come up.
So what you're saying is, but here's the thing though, right? Once you make that movie where your ass is like on Dakota Johnson's and you're fucking, you got a half a dick shot and all that sort of shit's going on, right? This movie will never go away for you. Every birthday you have, some motherfucker will whip out your dick scene, all right?
Yeah, but if you're so
at
rich,
your
you don't
funeral,
care.
It'll be like, here's him on the job, all right? So anyway. Sorry.
Okay. Let's end Fifty Shades there. And that was my number five. So over to you for your number four.
My number four is a movie I'm sure that will be on your list, but you may have seen worse ones, but you talked about it a lot. And you telling me it was bullshit is why I went to go see it. The 1517 to Paris.
For new listeners to the show, this is a thing that happens when Wayne gets something chronically.
Yes, what also happens is that Paul just won't let the damn note go, and it's fucking boring. So, the 1517 to Paris. This is a 45% on Metacritic, and that is very generous.
That is loyalty to Clint Eastwood.
It's 24% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That so is still loyalty to Clint Eastwood.
This, okay.
The director of this propaganda piece for the American Army Infantry.
Oh, look, don't get me wrong, all right? I have skipped the last few Clint Eastwood movies. I didn't see Jersey Boys. I didn't see a few other ones, like whatever. To me, I still remember Clint Eastwood making shit like Unforgiven or fucking...
Heartbreak Ridge.
Heartbreak Ridge. What a great fucking movie. Oh, that last one where he was an old man.
Gran Torino.
Gran Torino, that one, right? So to me, it's quite a surprise to see what a bag of shit he's now making. This movie takes the real people who were in the actual situation where there was a terrorist attack on a train in some place to Paris, and he puts those real people in his acting spots, and it just doesn't work.
That's the problem.
Now, here's the thing. The scene where there was the actual action on the train wasn't terrible. I think that was actually a pretty good scene.
But it was 75 minutes into...
buried among this exposition wave.
It wasn't an exposition wave. It was a fucking travelogue, Wayne.
It was. That's what it was. Started when they were zygotes, and then it began all through their life shit.
When the three kids who play in one scene, the, whatever they were, 8, 9, 10 years old version of yourselves, are exponentially better actors than you are.
Yes, dead giveaway, no?
You've got a problem.
Yeah.
And the fact that then someone said, well, these gentlemen who did this, it's only a few years ago, they're pretty much the same age. We can get them to pass off as each other. We can tell them to relive their life story. And someone, including Clint Eastwood, said, good idea. Everyone will love to see that. Well, you're fucking wrong.
You know what? It's halfway through. You know you're waiting for the big thing in the train. But all halfway through the movie, you're like, this is going to be like this for the next rest of this fucking movie, apart from a 10-minute scene, hopefully. With that shit in it, and it's just crap. Crying shame, this thing is... Just watch it at all. Don't watch it at all. Just don't watch it at all.
Absolutely not.
An imbecilic misfire.
Well, I have more to say.
Oh, please.
The biggest problem with this film is that somebody thought, like you said, this 10-minute event could be a 90-minute film.
Yes.
Let's stretch it to its absolute thinnest point. So much so, we won't give any context to why the terrorists on the train are trying to do what they're trying to... All the guys trying to do what he's trying to do. We won't set up their characters anything more than cliched one notes that this should have been a 15-minute film and it might have been excusable. Instead, we get a travel log, like I said before. Mm. It follows them around and they meet some random chick and maybe one of them sleeps with her and maybe they don't.
It's all like, hey, I'll make you like these guys by showing that they bang people and they do stuff and they drink and they're college buddies.
They're partying. They're seeing the sights. I don't want to watch this film
at
the
cinema. It's not what you came for. Absolutely. I wonder how he takes this.
When Eastwood, apparently Eastwood's a notoriously short shooter. So like his what would take someone else 3 months, he'll do in 6 weeks. So
really?
It's just bam, he's in, good, go. You know,
that's these pretty kind legendary. Of things.
I can just imagine how quick he went like, nah, fucking done. My time is fucking short.
Yeah. The three guys are all very, you know, they're handsome young men, I guess, but they're just not actors. So, yeah. But you know what? This is the type of thing where if it went well, everyone will praise what a genius he was.
But it didn't.
It didn't go well.
And he should have known.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Totally. All right.
That's me for you for four. Me for four.
Yes.
Sorry.
What is your four?
Therefore is, hold on to your hats for this one.
Uh-oh.
It's Robin the Hood.
Oh, look, not a big surprise, right?
On your list?
No.
Oh,
No. I had more fun in this movie than a lot of other shitty... I had more fun in this movie than the fuck Predator.
Well, that's exactly where my head went. And I was going to say, there is no way in the world this is a better movie than the Predator.
But it's not... It's no, it is! It's... Wow, that's right.
Nor is it as enjoyable.
So is it... Yeah. This is
You might be right. Maybe it's a better made film.
Yeah, it's a better made film.
Maybe.
It's just that you didn't like it.
No, but no, the script in this film is just as garbage as in The Predator.
I do agree.
The acting is just as, well, from what you believe to be egregiously bad, no one in this film is convincing, least of all Maid Marian.
Oh no, she was shit.
She was so
bad. She was absolutely shit.
She's actually an Irish woman, I looked this up, an Irish actor, who it sounded like she was an American trying to play British because at times her accent seemed to slip.
Yeah, I don't know what she was trying to do. Well, maybe there's, this odd Gaelic. Who knows?
Awful film. The worst idea ever to make bows and arrows like machine guns.
No, dude. You know what? That was one of the pleasures I thought they were to be had. The not so much the machine gun, but the use of bows and arrows to case a fucking corner. Like, that's kind of cool. I've not seen that before. And the Gatling, crossbow, it made it interesting. I was excited. I was like, ooh, that looks so good.
How would you like to suck my butt?
It's so wrong.
Look, I'm not saying it's a good movie, right? But it wasn't going to go anywhere near my list because I had a little bit of fun with this. These other movies I had no fun in, man. That's how my shit goes.
The fact that you were supposed to buy in with Robin and Marion as a couple after 5 minutes of backstory.
Oh, that was bullshit. That was easily bullshit.
This script is...
I'm here for the arrow shooting.
The arrow shooting, I thought was crap. He gets stabbed or shot at one point with it, and he's just like, fucking no worries. Pour some alcohol.
It's like a Disney Musketeer movie.
But even then, they don't get stabbed in the Disney Musketeer movies, I don't think.
That's
not
true.
The good guys.
And Jamie Dornan from your fucking 50 Shades Freed is in it.
In
Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah, he was awful too. Will Scarlet, some bullshit version
of Will Scarlet.
And
yeah.
The thing that really didn't work for me, which apparently is okay for some people, maybe even you, is this anachronistic clothing style. This is like an alternate world. If that's what you're going for, he set it up better.
No, that's it. If it is an alternate world, it needs to be set up a lot better. So that was also a fail. The movie fails.
It is.
But I like to burn some of the shit.
Yeah. You're wrong. Robin Hood's terrible. At least we can both agree with that. That's my four, your three.
Well, I have a feeling you're going to agree with this next one. Well, we know Paul's hatred of Kevin Hart. And I knew Paul was going to review Night School for his worst of list, all right? So I had a thought. I'm like, I'm going to go watch it too, and maybe it'll somehow be good. And then Paul will never admit a movie's good if it has Kevin Hart in it. So then we can have a wicked fight on air, and that's some good content, man. That's what I thought. Unfortunately, that will not be the case because this film is a putrid cup of diarrhea.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
What the fuck?
I couldn't agree more.
Oh my God, guys.
And in fact, how much could I not agree more? My number three is Night School.
Yes, right. Everyone, it's about Kevin Hart, and he plays Teddy Walker, who's a barbecue grill salesman who's keeping secrets from his rich fiancé, who is way out of his league. And
Oh my God,
it's fucking ridiculous. It's actually amazing. He just got fired, and he can't get a job because he's a high school dropout. So somehow, by getting a GED, he can get a job in a high finance company really easily.
Because he has a
mate. Because that's all
there.
You need, everyone. I mean, I've been in the field, and let me tell you, I didn't need any qualifications other than graduating high school. So let's just look past that. He then goes to night school to do this, and Tiffany Haddish is his teacher, who's a take-no-shit teacher, and he's got a few other people, like characters, in the classroom, and it plays like a shitty version of Community, if Community was less ambitious.
Oh, God,
and less
how
clever.
Dare you mention those properties in the same
sentence. I'm just saying that's
sentence.
What they're trying to do with it, okay? It does not work out so well. And look, let me just tell you something. It's not all hate in here, because like Paul doesn't feel this way, but I discovered Kevin Hart's stand-up many years ago, okay? And he's funny. On stage, he's funny. I can show you clips, all right? So he's capable of funny, all right? This movie here, I would think that if he could play it like it wasn't a PG-13, whatever, this needs to be a lot more foul-mouthed. It needs to be a lot more nasty, and it needs to be a lot more shocking if it's going to be anything. This same director did Girls Trip with the same Tiffany Haddish girl, mm-hmm. and at least that one had piss jokes in it.
That film was better than this film.
Yes, it was.
Which
right?
is an exceedingly low bar.
It is an exceedingly low bar.
To tiptoe over.
Oh, God. And then you know what? This movie at the end, it gives you these unearned like positive messages about learning abilities and why don't we all just get along and some hokey bullshit speech at the end. It is just, it shouldn't have been made.
Clearly, I could not agree more. As you said, I dislike Kevin Hart in the best of films, i.e. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. He gets through that film on the strength of everybody else, but he's still playing the same dude.
You're a bit harsh.
And I have a message here for Kevin Hart.
Oh my God. Fuck.
At being a cunt.
Oh God.
No, I take that back. At being at the same one-note shithouse character in every film, you're always the little wanky guy who can't get past, and he's short, and he's annoying, but has a heart of gold, even though he's a prick to everybody for the first two-thirds of the film.
Well, may I suggest, that for a guy who's clearly of short stature, like he must be like 3 feet tall, man. He looks so short next to this girl on the screen. And he can only probably play very few roles, but this guy is actually huge in the States. Like, he fucking sells out arenas.
I understand.
He had a birth recently.
He don't give no shit. Oh, yeah, he was going to be the host of the Academy Awards, and then someone drew up his homophobic tweets from whatever else.
God, really?
And instead of saying, yeah, you know what, that was a bit rough back then, but I'm sorry about that, and just it would have been fine, he was like, nah, stand by those jokes. Stand by them.
I probably would have gone with
him. So they removed him.
I would have done the same thing. Because it's like, look,
no,
breakfast. It's a long story.
We're not doing this again.
It's just a comedy is comedy and people shouldn't be so bitchy. All right, that's it.
Anyway.
Now, yeah, so basically this movie's a piece of shit, everyone.
It's all those just things you said. I literally, it's 117 fucking minutes and it has 6 writers, Wayne.
Yeah, I know. I did read that somewhere.
6 writers, including your boy, Nicholas Stoller.
Now, that's really why I saw this movie, okay? This should have gone better, everyone. Although Nicholas Stoller, and I believe most people, cannot write PG funny. It's really hard. It's much harder than R.
It's just so, every character is awful. Every person is awful. At least Tiffany Haddish, she's not funny. She may as well be Kevin Hart in terms of funniest levels. She at least plays an earnest character. Like I said, he's a dickhead. And you're meant to throw in with him. You're meant to think, well, like, well, enough in the end. No. No. Stop it, Kevin Hart. Just go away. Have a career thing. Come out and play something completely against type.
I would be interested in the economics behind a picture like this. Like what the target market is, who does it, what's the money.
Oh, I mean, did it make money?
Yeah.
Well, according to Wikipedia, it was a $30 million, $29 million film. Made enough that everybody's happy and don't give no shit about the reviews. $102.6 million.
That's a boatload of money. That's a boatload of money for a $30 million movie. Yep. That.
So they're probably 40% in the black, give or take. More, possibly.
Yeah, this is your new Adam Sandler, everyone.
You're right. He's the next gen Adam Sandler.
Hey, good for him. He shit makes ass, a
well, successful comedian who somehow translates a pretty shitty transition into filmdom and still make money.
Well, he's killed it. So I, you know, he's doing something right for him. There you go.
Yeah. All right, that's my 3 and your 3. So we're back to you for your 2.
My 2 is 50 Shades Freed.
Then we're back to moi
for 2, and your number 2 is
a film you're going to have a problem with.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
And God damn, unless there is some great last-minute reprieve about to happen for listeners of the show, your review of this film remains my most rage-worthy moment of 2018 on the show. The Marky Mark starrer, Peter Berg directed, upteenth collaboration between the two, Mile 22, or Doody Doo, as I like to think of it. Because
this movie was fine.
Utter shit.
I had a good time in it, man. I had a good time in it. I wasn't 100% sober, but I was like, I thought, oh, this is all right. This is okay. Didn't mind it. Did not mind it. I guess the world disagrees with me.
The world so fundamentally disagrees with you.
You can't handle the truth.
Oh, dear. Look, these things happen from time to time, people. They're called anomalies.
You promised or pledged. Didn't promise. That's not true. You pledged to go back and rewatch it to see.
I haven't done it yet.
Because the editing in this film is enough to not just cause fits, but be lethal in its severity. It's a shot of someone backing down a driveway, and there's 7 different shots of it. It's shot like the whole way through the film. How did you not?
Can't remember it.
Again, everybody hates this movie.
All right, look, I am going to watch it again, and I will issue a apology slash confirmation.
Okay.
I either go, ooh, I don't know what I was thinking then, which would be an interesting, sort of experiment into how that shit works out.
What's the difference between the antecedents between when you watch the film the first time and the second?
Oh, yeah. That's a good call. I'll make it a control group. But yeah, okay. All right, all right, fine. I understand you'd put this in there. Fuck you. I didn't mind it at the time. I stand by it.
All right. Well, let's give a recap then of 10 through 2 before revealing your number 1, which everyone's a mysterious. I might as well just say my number 1 is, of course, the 1517 to Paris, the worst film made and released at the cinemas in the last 5 years.
Okay. Do you want to give us your 9s?
All right. So we go through 10. That was my number 1. Yep. So yours is a surprise and clearly is not on my list. My number 10 is Jurassic Park, Fallen Kingdom, 9, Pacific Rim, Uprising, 8, Winchester, 7, Life Itself, 6, Truth or Dare, 5, 50 Shades Freed, 4, Robin Hood, 3, Night School, 2, Mile 22. And as I mentioned, number 1 for me is the Wayne Waylo 1517 to Paris.
Okay, I understand you hated that. My number 10 was The Predator, absolutely. Number 9, Jurassic Flaps, Walpole, Fallen Kingdom. Number 8, The Cloverfield Paradox. Number 7, The Equalizer 2. Number 6, Death Wish. 5, Hunter Killer. 4, The 1517 to D's Nuts. 3, Night School. Number 2 was 50 Shades Freed. And my number 1,
the worst film you've seen, 2018.
Worst easily, hands down too, The Happy Time Murders. Straight up, I have not seen a movie fall flat every single moment
it
takes.
Did you give that the lowest score? I don't reckon you did. I reckon the conversation we had was, we tried to like it. It was shit, but it was we kind of gave, not a pass. I think we both gave it like in the 30s.
In relation to this list, it is the one that is my, I hated it. I hated it the most.
I remember you talking about it that way. I remember you talking about it more positively than that.
I remember.
So have you watched it again?
What I did was I skipped through it again.
Oh.
And it's allowed me to percolate on the thing.
Yeah, okay.
But the thing I actually remember is... No more questions, Jonah. Yeah, no, but I remember actually looking... Because Joel McHale and shit like that's in it and stuff like this. And people I usually laugh at, you know? And when they try everything, they just try it the absolute wrong way. Now, don't get me wrong. Rude Puppets has been a winner in the past. Okay?
Meet the Feebles.
Meet the Feebles. All sorts of things. There's a way to do that right. But for them to hit the mark so... Oh, sorry. Miss the mark so dramatically here... Plus, you know, I have trouble with Melissa McCarthy, whatever. But, no, I just don't think she's... Yeah, she's funny sometimes. She's funny, but
she's
like...
She's great in Bridesmaids.
Bridesmaids! Fucking class.
And therefore we've had 17 versions thereof ever since.
But not good ones. It's weird. So, yeah, there you are.
Cheap knockoffs.
Exactly. So this is a piece of shit, everyone. I was the most amazed at how bad it was this year.
It surprised me a little bit, because I thought you were sort of more in line with me, which was, I admire the try. It's shit, but...
No, yeah. I do.
I didn't hate my time in the way in that screening that I hated it for all of these films on my list.
But the only good part of this movie when we watched it is the context that I gave it. Nothing the actual screen did. I'm sitting there going, well, hey, good on you guys for trying
to I got more laughs out of the trip to the porn store at the start of the film than I did out of any comedy on my list this year.
There was that, and then the coming scene should have been funny, but it wasn't.
It was spoiled because it was in the trailer.
That, but it was also overplayed in the movie. So I don't know. This thing went sideways, man. So I just, it got me. There you
all
go.
All right. Did you have any honorable mentions to wrap it up then?
Yeah, a couple.
Me too. I had more than two.
Yes. I actually almost put Solo on my list.
Wow, disappointing that
but
much.
But it wasn't, because it was disappointing, it wasn't, like, it was actually technically a better movie because it was still Ron Howardy and he does a baseline level of quality.
Yep.
The Spy Who Dumped Me. Yeah, almost made it.
Thank God. We were going to do that for the show and we were saved by Nick Haskins from the Film Guys who just said, do not watch this film, you will hate it.
Grandmaster and The Nun.
Yeah, none was garbage.
No, none was shit.
None was garbage. Should be on my dishonorable mentions. I don't know why I mentioned it. I forgot it. The one, other ones that were, I'm not sure how many of these. Oh, you've seen one of them. I'll leave that one for last. Insidious, The Lost Key. Mm-hmm. Please, dear God, stop making those films. A Wrinkle in Time, one of the worst adaptations to a good book that I have ever seen with, you know, Oprah Winfrey and Renee.
I read a lot about this show. Is it just shit?
Reese Witherspoon. Yes. It's awful. Oh, Chris Pine's also in it too.
Yeah. This should have gone that way.
Slender Man, another crap horror film made on cheap by Blumhouse. Yeah. Action Point, Johnny Knoxville.
Oh, wasn't shit.
Fuck, it's so bad. Like, why do you need a storyline narrative for Jackass, which is basically what this movie is?
But that's what he did with Bad Grandpa, right? But at least that guy shot on the wall and it was funny.
It was a funny scene. Yes. But there's even more of it here. There's like way more pratfalls and way more hurting themselves.
But it's produced?
But it's the stunts still happen. They're still real.
But is it in it? Like, is it like shot like that bad grandpa, the grandpa one? Where
No. That was that a home video one? I can't remember.
It was, but they used people who are actually not actors. They just did it somewhere and called it a scene.
Yeah, no. So like Borat.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is a straightforward narrative.
So this is actually written and produced.
Yep.
Okay. And didn't work.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh,
see, no. That's shit.
It's awful. And the last two, Elliot the Littlest Reindeer is the worst animated film I saw this year.
Fuck?
Slightly narrowing out Sherlock Gnomes, which from Letterboxd at least no one has seen. It was obviously released very, very limited, so that's
a lot
why
of people
I didn't bother.
Mentioned Sherlock Gnomes.
Sherlock Gnomes is terrible. And lastly, Game Over Man, which I only left off because it's a Netflix film, because otherwise this would definitely have been on my list.
I didn't mind
Fuck
it.
Fuck that.
I didn't
shit.
Mind it.
All right, well, we wrap up every episode of the show, even in this new iteration, with your responses in our Pop 10 segment.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
What's on this Pop 10 today, Polly?
Starting with What Were They Thinking podcast over on Twitter, the 1517 to Paris. Yep, there it is. I did tease that one of his picks was my number one, Slender Man and Action Point. Awful. Awful, awful.
Wow, all of those.
Mike Seibert, radio podcast. Mike, good friend to the show, said, I saw a lot of bad movies this year, but nothing made me more upset than The Predator.
Yeah!
What's it's up, a combination man? Of potential and expectations that makes this garbage fire of a movie swing so hard into disappointment. Hated this movie.
Yep, totally agree.
The IMDb Journey podcast, Daniel and Dean, or Daniel from that show. Action Point, again, Knoxville reliving the glory days, not what it used to be. The week of, just stop, Stanner, stop.
I kind of feel like I should see this now.
And number one, Siberia, an incoherent piece of shit.
Oh, okay.
Keanu Reeves.
Oh, what? Damn it.
From Julio on the Contrarians podcast, another good friend to the show. While you fuckers are putty-fussing around watching your Megs and your Happy Times, I went hardcore and watched Gotti.
I've heard a lot about this show.
I watched Gotti and no one else did.
Apparently it's a humongous piece of shit, yeah. And it was directed by Eric from fucking Entourage.
E from Entourage. Yeah. That's right. Brentley Oliver, a good friend to the Epic Film Guys, said Jurassic World 2, mm-hmm. Life of the Party. I believe that's a Melissa
McCarthy wanted to party. Watch that, and I saw the trailer and I said, I can't do it to myself.
Yep. And Bohemian Rhapsody.
Ooh, controversial.
Hot take, third worst Boom. Film of the year.
Did not like Ooh. It.
Dee from the Super Movie Bros, a future guest co-host on the show, said, these are all ones that were disappointing because they should have been better. None lived up to their hype or the originals. Pacific Rim Job.
Specific Rim.
The Predator.
Okay.
And Super Troopers 2.
Oh, really? Didn't Dave. See that one. But then again, didn't really care for the first one.
Neither did I. I watched it. And
some laughs.
To be honest, I got 7 minutes through the sequel and just shut it off.
Really?
No thank you. No thank you.
The shutdown is big.
Walked out of there. So I can't put on my list, but it obviously would have got there. Two Girls on a Bench podcast, Wrinkle in Time, pretty great cast, but the script didn't live up to the book. Mm. Sherlock Gnomes and another one for Jurassic World, Fallen Ask Them.
Ask Them. Good one.
Our good mate Sam over at Movie Reviews in 20Q's podcast said, you gotta be kidding me. A worst of? I feel pretty confident that this list is going to cause some conflict between yous or game over, man.
Okay, very clever.
So there's his three.
Gotti. I Feel Pretty wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I remember you kind of defending it. You're saying it was okay.
It was okay.
The Forgotten Films on Twitter, Happy Time Murders, Life of the Party, 1517 to Paris, and another vote for Game Over Man, Wayne.
Yeah, look, I understand.
Pilot Comics said the Meg was amazing because it was a dumpster fire, yet underwater. Jurassic World 2 started off well and had the lamest second half I can recall in a long time. And Venom was a fitting adaptation for a crap character. Crap.
Forgot about Venom. No, we thought it was.
I don't think it was that bad for me. Anyway, Gerald from Two Peas on a podcast. Crazy Rich Asians.
Woo-hoo. Oh, come on. It was just a rom-com with Asians in it.
A film I haven't seen called Slice and Unfriended Dark Web, which I kind of dug.
What? Unfriended Dark Web?
Dark Web, like the sequel.
That's the sequel to Unfriended.
Unfriended, yeah. Oh. I liked it. I thought it was clever enough. Sorry, Gerald. Not sure what I missed there. Audrey and the Apocalypse, first time contributor to the show. Number 3, Ready Player One.
Ooh.
Number 2, Ready Player One.
Really?
Number 1, Ready Player One.
That's a lot of hatred.
That's some hate. Emily from the Tasteless podcast said, A Star is Born.
Ooh, fuck. That's huge.
Now, Can You Ever Forgive Me and 50 Shades Freed. Luckily, I didn't watch too many things this year that were so terrible.
Wow.
Duty Dutrum from the Shaken Not Nerd podcast said, Easy, Predator, Venom, and Happy Time Murders.
Not bad.
Another one for the Predator. And last couple here from our Facebook listener community. Do get over there and get involved in the fun. A couple of films here I haven't seen. Number from James Spence. High-level patron, good friend of the show. Number 3, Welcome to Marwen with, I think, Steve Carell?
I've heard of
Steve Carell, sorry.
Yep.
Number 2, Teen Titans Go to the Movies. Ooh. Ooh. Rough. I didn't. I laughed quite a few times in that film, I have to admit. And number 1, The Kissing Booth. Have you ever seen that one?
I know of it. No, I haven't seen it.
Toffer from the Master Debaters podcast.
Toff.
Gotti, The Nun, and Gotti again.
I gotta see this shit.
I know it was gonna be bad when Travolta was cast, but I still had some more hopes that it would work. Nope.
Wow.
Gash. Blake Jarvis. So, do we count Netflix? If so, my bottom 3 are, with Netflix, number 3, Cloverfield Paradox.
Boom.
2, Mute. And number 1, The Weekend of. Without Netflix, number 3, A Wrinkle in Time. 2, I Feel Pretty. And number 1, Jurassic World.
Wow. The Weekend of. I don't know that one.
I think that was the Adam Sandler one.
Oh, that one with Chris Rock and shit.
I think.
Maybe Chris Rock. Anyway, yeah.
And finally, to wrap it all up for at least our recording at this time of year, going to give you a red hot take from a long-term listener, good friend of the show and patron of it, Jennifer Hicks.
Oh, Jennifer.
Number 3, Cloverfield Paradox.
Mm-hmm.
Funnily enough, agreeing with you. Number 2, Game Over Man. Funnily enough, agreeing with me. And number 1, agreeing with neither of us, I think it's fair to say, Hereditary.
Woo! I know some people who don't like it. Yeah. Dina Marie doesn't like it either.
Yeah, it's a bit of, yeah, she does from, of course, from the Twisted Philly podcast. Yeah. It does feel a little bit like a all or nothing movie, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I was trying to explain it to someone the other day. I was like, so this thing happens and then there's beheadings and they're like, she's like, what the fuck? And I was like, yeah, actually, it's kind of hard to sell this one.
Let's go back to talking about my dick.
Anyway, thanks, Mom.
What a good way to leave off on this week's show. Thank you for joining the new format of the show, episode 196, and we'll be moving forward with the same format for a long time yet to come. Next week, Wayne, what are we doing?
Next week, we're counting down our top 10 favorite movies of 2017.
That's right. 2018. The yin to this yang, or this yang to this yin?
Yeah, this is like the bad conversation where it's like, which movie could you not bust a nut on if someone paid you? The next list is which movies are you going to bust your nut on?
Just by thinking about
just
it.
Just all over the place, right?
Yeah, very much looking forward to the next week's show. As I said, the counter to this one. So we're not all negative all the time. We did have fun with a lot of a rant today. Next week, it's going to be a whole lot of loving, except when Wayne picks something fucking stupid on his list.
Oh, I can't wait.
All right, Wayne, so tell everyone how to find us to give their feedback on the show and indeed contribute this each week.
Google The Countdown Movie and TV Reviews and you'll find us, or you can send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com. But it's all really Facebooky.
That's right. You can find us on Twitter at The Countdown PC and indeed on Podbean, where you can follow the show along there. Check us out. Leave likes, reviews, wherever you do listen to us. That really helps a whole heck of a lot. If you're a new person over from Podbean checking this one out, thanks so much. Hit that follow button and tune back in each Saturday and Tuesday, because Saturday, in addition to what you've just said, we'll be doing Aquaman.
That's right.
Of that film.
By the way, we're doing a little something-something for the 200th episode.
Oh, we are. Thank you for the reminder, Wayne.
Yeah. What we want you to do is send us your top 10 favorite movies of all time. Of all time.
Yep,
okay?
Your favorite. It's not your best, your favorite.
Yeah, your favorite. It might be the best movie. No, your favorite, okay? Then we're going to compile that shit, or the other poll with Will, because he's got wicked, like, numbers skills, like speed with numbers and shit. He's going to put that shit together. That's going to be the countdown on that episode. Your movies.
Your film. So contribute, get involved. The list is growing. We'd like a fair few more just yet. So we've got a number in mind to get to that would be, we think, truly representative of our listening audience. So please get back to us with that.
That'll be awesome. Thank you very much for listening, guys. Until next week, my name is Wayne.
My name is Paul, and this has been The Soundboard.
For me, you're somewhere between a cockroach and that white stuff that accumulates at the corner in your mouth when you're really thirsty.
I know,
really,
you love that
really
one.
Long.
That's
really
the best. Long. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Fuck off.
We'll catch you next week. Good cop, rolling with that bad cop. What you doing, boy? Turning that blood clock. Buckshot, they fly through the truck spots. Robots, can't give a damn who the fuck shot. Clean cop, fucking with that dirty cop. Don't act like your ass never heard of that. Clean cop, rolling with that mean cop. Still trying to act proud as a peacock. If you love this podcast, then head over to comiccompod.com to check out the other incredible shows on our network. Whether you love comedy, pop culture, or movie and TV reviews, CC Radio has got you covered.